We thank you for your holy word tonight. We thank you for instruction, impartation, illumination, Father God, inspiration coming from your word. We thank you for impartation of truth and grace deposits. Hallelujah. So that we'll never be the same after tonight, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who's our teacher. We yield ourselves to him so he can unfold and unveil the word of God unto our spirits. We give you all the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. And it's in that worthy, wonderful name of Jesus we pray and we say. And everybody said, amen, amen. All right. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. I know your handout says 7, but that's a typo on my part. So we're going to start in Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. I'm going to pick up where we left off last week by the grace and help of God. Revelation chapter 8, we see the seventh seal giving segue or prelude to the seven trumpets, which we're going to emphasize tonight. So Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, reading out of New King James Version, New King James Version of the Bible. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour, 30 minutes. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God. And to them who were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it to the with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it into the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquake, so that the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And the third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures of the sea died, and the third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and it was a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star, what is Wormwood? And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Verse 12, then the fourth angel sounded, and the third of the sun was struck, and the third of the moon, and the third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet and of the three angels which were about to sound. Then the fifth angel, chapter 9, verse 1, sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, nor any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Now, the seal of God on their forehead refers back to chapter 7, which we left off last week, talking about God sealing the 144,000 witnesses for him, 12, 12,000 out of each of the tribes of Israel, you know, excluding Dan, because we talked about Dan, why Dan was not included, and Ephraim, one of Joseph's sons. So Joseph and Levi had to take their places as tribes that were the original 12 that were allotted an inheritance in the land of Canaan. But Dan will be included, you know, in the end. So he'll get the land, but he won't get the chance to do the job of witnessing. So anyway, just to give you that little note. And so they had the seal of God on them. Now we are sealed today by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So why? What's the mark or seal that we are carrying? The Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. That's why we're born of the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God as the earnest of our inheritance, but he's the seal of our inheritance. Amen? Because we have the Holy Spirit, we're guaranteed an eternal life with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Because that's why that's the distinguishing factor, and Jesus talked about it in John chapter 3. He said, you must be what? Born again. So some people are a part of a church. They're a member of a church. They may even go to that church regularly or go to that particular religious institution regularly and do all the religious things. But the key issue is, are you born again? Amen. Are you washed in the blood? Praise God. And, of course, then the Holy Spirit is now able to come into you and seal you as God's child, because the same spirit of adoption is in you where you can cry out, Abba, Father. Praise God. Amen. And so this seal is like what Cain had, who killed his brother Abel, but God didn't want people to kill Cain, so he marked him. Well, this is leading up to what the Antichrist will do in segue to his whole agenda of one world government and his falseness and fakeness, and he'll come about with his own mark. And he'll mark people on their forehead and on their right hand with his name. Now, this mark on the 1,244 is the name of Jehovah God. They will have the name of God on them. Amen. It'll be a recognizable mark. Amen. God's marking his territory. Amen. It's not a new concept. It's been around since ages before we were even born. Amen. The seal and sign of the old covenant was circumcision. So we see this concept. He said the seal of God on their foreheads. Now, let's pick it back up. Chapter 9, verse number 5. And they were not given authority. They were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion, which strikes a man. In those days, men would seek death and will not find it, and they will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like horses. Now, this is a weird-looking creature coming out of this bottomless pit. We'll talk about that in a minute. Prepare for battle. And on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like a woman's hair. Pretty interesting, isn't it? And their teeth were like lion's teeth, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and sounds of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. Their tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had as kings over them an angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past, but still two more woes are coming after these things. The sixth trumpet comes on the scene now. Verse 13. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying, the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were now released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen were 200 million. And I heard the number of them, and I saw the horses in the vision. And those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lion. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. But by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstones which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, just like us, right? And in their tails, and their tails were like serpents having heads, and with them they did do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of their works of their hands, or they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, and stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or of their sorceries or of their sexual immorality or their thefts. Chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was on his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to the heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and all the things and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be no delay, be delayed no longer. But the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he was about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. And he declared to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from the heaven spoke to me again, saying, go, take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel who stands at the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Now we'll conclude here with chapter 11. So we'll finish chapter 11 here. So verse number 1. Chapter 11. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod. And the angel stood and said, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. So we're still in the first part of the tribulation, the first part. Now, remember, the second part is great tribulation. We're not covering that tonight, but that's going to be the worser half of Daniel's 70th week, the seven-year period. So this is still the first half, okay? And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. If anyone wants to harm them, they must be killed in this manner. These have the power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have the power over waters to turn them to blood, and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire, these two men, these two witnesses. And when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit will make war against them overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Then also our Lord was crucified. Now, where is that? Jerusalem. Okay. And then those of the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now, after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on all those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. And in the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sat before God and their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, and they should be that they should be judged, that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy earth." Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in the temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunders, and earthquakes, and great hail. A lot of stuff happening, right? So this is tribulation period part two, but this is still the second first half for the most part. So praise the Lord. So you refer to your notes there, your handout there. The Bible tells of people using trumpets in several ways. So we saw last week the seven seals. Tonight we're going to talk about the seven trumpets. Trumpets signal the end of something, such as the end of a harvest. Trumpets alert a city of impending danger. Trumpets call the people of God to worship and sound their praise. What is commonly referred to as a shofar, you know, in that context. And then number four, trumpets rally troops to combat. The rallying call. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, Paul describes the trumpet of the rapture of the church as the last trump. By last, the Greek word there, here means the trumpet that closes the church age. He also calls this trumpet the trumpet of God, and those that and bring those in Christ from the dead and catches us who are alive and remain in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. We talked about that last time, previous times. The rapture trumpet is therefore a sort of a harvest trumpet. Because at the end of the harvest of people who are on earth at that time, before the rapture, will be harvested to come up and meet the Lord in the air. Amen? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation warn of attacks. That is, of the Lord's fury against the evil forces on the earth during this seven-year tribulation period. Now, you got to keep in context why we said the tribulation period is there. Because God has to deal with wickedness and sin. He has to bring judgment. But we're not included in that period of time. Now, some religions, and for the most part, in the context of their Orthodox theology, you know, Catholics believe in what we call amillennialism. Which just simply means, excuse me. All that means is excuse me. They don't believe in a rapture, and they don't believe in the second coming. So there's people that actually believe that we're in the millennium, which is the reign of Christ right now, which is what I don't believe the Bible teaches. I believe that there will be a literal reign of Jesus Christ. There'll be a literal second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so why do you need to have that thinking as well? Because that's our blessed hope. Revelation teaches this. We said it and saw it in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, that those who read the book of Revelation are blessed. Why? Because he's telling us this is our opportunity to get excited about Jesus and to be admonished that he's coming soon so that we're ready for his return. That's the message we take from it. Because, like we said last week, there's more scriptures and prophecies devoted to these 7 years more than any other prophecies in the Bible, prophetic events in the Bible. So these 7 years is a big deal. This is where God's going to straighten everything up, get his earth back to his son, and then create a new heaven and a new earth as we transition into what we call the eternity age, where there's no more time. All the judgments will be gone and done. So this 7 year period is a judgment time period. There's a lot of things happening here as we see them, right? So what comes upon the earth during these seven, from these seven trumpets? The first trumpet we saw, hail and fire mixed with blood. Now, blood always had the connotation once it's out of the body. Once blood, I think Sister Kathy can mention it a little bit. You know, when somebody's bleeding, you know, she's in the dental business, but when the blood comes out, that blood is no good. It starts to corrupt and contaminate. That's why they have to get it out and wash it off, all that kind of stuff. Blood is, toxic, right? Once it gets out of the body. I mean, you don't stick yourself and start bleeding, and then take the blood and lick it back up. Well, that's what the connotation here is. It's not only hail, it's not only fire. Just like it was in Exodus, one of the plagues of Egypt, where hail and fire came down, but this time it will be mingled with blood, which is not only going to hurt and harm things, it's going to corrupt and contaminate things. Are you listening to me? And what is going to happen? One third of the earth is burned up and corrupted. All right, second trumpet. The great mountain burning with fire. Some scholars say that's an asteroid. You can put that in parentheses over it. So it's like a great mountain. Well, John, you got to remember, John back then, they didn't have astrology and astronomy science where they studied the stars as much as, you know, us in the technology. They didn't have a Hubble telescope, right? So he looked at this big old rock coming to the earth and looked like a big mountain. What could be an asteroid that gets hurled at the earth? Now, the key is this thing is burning. It's like it hits the earth's atmosphere. It's a blazing fire. And then what happens? It hits the water. And what does it do? It destroys one third of the living creatures in the water. And then secondly, it destroys one-third of the ships in the ocean. Sounds like a big meteoroid or asteroid, doesn't it? Amen. I don't believe a mountain's coming up out of somewhere across the country and being thrown back down to the earth. No, it's coming out of space somewhere. Just the way it reads to me. All right, third trumpet. A great star named Wormwood. Again, scholars believe this is another asteroid. But its purpose, it's not burning with fire. It's bloated with poison and pollution. So one big, let's just say it's an asteroid. One asteroid's burning to come and do certain things, and then another one comes, and it's full of poison and pollution, and it contaminates the water. It's called wormwood. The connotation there is bitter water. That means unhealthy, non-potable, undrinkable water. And it's going to get into the water systems of different rivers and lakes and streams, and it's going to hurt people. Fourth trumpet, we see sun, moon, stars are struck. They are hit. And so you can imagine, most of you are out and about today. You saw the sun rise. We're seeing now the sun's getting ready to set. It ain't going to be like that. It says it's going to be one-third darkened by one-third. So the light that we see, the nautical twilight from the moon and the stars and the daylight from the sun is going to be reduced and darkened by one-third. Okay? That's the fourth trumpet. The fifth trumpet, we see, I've got it typed out there for a star angel, which is an angel, falls from heaven holding a key to the bottomless pit. So the angel comes right out of heaven, and he's got a key in his hand. And we're going to talk about hell in just a minute. Because where is he going? He's going to the underworld. That's where what we call the abyss or the bottomless pit, which is one of the compartments of hell, Hades, the region, underworld. Region, he's coming down to unlock it. And next, what? A plague of locusts appear from the pit. They come roaring out of the pit. Again, some scholars say some of them say that these are demon spirits, evil spirits. They got the locust form. They got the, lion-like teeth and, man face, hair like a woman, all that kind of stuff, like they describe. And they're told not to harm the greenery left on the globe, but they're allowed to hurt humans. How long? We read it, 5 months. They're going to torment people 5 months. And these people are going to want to die, so it's just like being stung with a scorpion, or they're going to have scorpion stingers. They're going to sting you, they're going to zap you, and you're going to be in pain, but you're not going to be allowed to perish or die. Okay, sixth trumpet. Then there's these four angels that were bound and tied up at the four corners of the great Euphrates and those rivers, and they get raised up, and then they release a 200 million horsemen army. So you see the army, the 200 million, that's a lot of people, and then they take out another one-third people killed. They actually do the killing. The other ones just did the hurting, suffering, tormenting. But the other ones do the killing, one-third. Now, I know because of the way the media broadcasts it, they cover mass shootings all over the world, but this is nothing compared to what's going to be happening right here. One-third of the people there. Now, if you look at, you Google it, the world population clock, and you'll see the people, the number of people died today, born today, that kind of thing, this year, this month, that kind of thing. And it has all the data, and it keeps a tab on who's, and last I checked, it was a couple weeks ago, is about 7.7 billion people. And counting, that are born, that are living and alive in the earth. So you just do the math. One third of those. Well, take out the Christians. Let's just take out the Christians. Let's just take out a billion Christians. Still got 6.5. All right, the seventh trumpet gives us a couple things. It gives us a preview of the second coming of Jesus. So it kind of gives the world a preview of his coming, but it also releases hail and earthquake on the earth to let them know he's coming back to rule and to reign. So what is the significance of the third mention in connection with the six of the seven trumpets? You see, six of the seven trumpets identify a third of the people will be impacted or affected, a third of something. Well, by revealing that approximately a third of the trees, sea creatures, and other living things perish in the devastation that comes on the planet, John, by the Holy Spirit, stresses the negative effect on the ecology and climatology on the globe that will show all of life is in jeopardy. When is the Antichrist showing up during the tribulation period? I just put that as a question. After the rapture. Now, if you remember back last week, we talked about the seven seals. The first seal was what color horse? Anybody remember? Come on, class. What color? White horse, yes, white horse. And he was doing what? Conquering. And most scholars believe that that's the Antichrist coming on the scene. Now, he can't come on the scene while the church is here. Thessalonians tells us he can't because the churches are what's holding the actual literal Antichrist back, person back. Now, the spirit of Antichrist is already here. It's already at work in the earth. But the literal person of the Antichrist cannot reveal himself or come on the scene until the church is out of here. Amen? So he's the first one coming in on the scene. Now, we see after the first seal, the seventh seal is open, many Bible prophet scholars and teachers believe that the one riding on the white horse is the Antichrist who will initially conquer all nations, kingdoms of the earth. Similar to how Daniel portrayed him as Alexander the Great, who went and conquered the then known world and tried to Greekanize the whole world. Then he got sick because of syphilis and died early. If you study history, then he split it up to his four generals. Well, he'll have 10 nations that what we call join with him, the Antichrist, and he will have a confederacy. When Daniel reveals that out of those 10 nations will come a little horn, that's him. He'll come out of one of those 10 nations, what they call 10-nation confederacy. Now, let's segue or talk a little bit about the reality of hell before we close. The fifth trumpet reveals the opening of the bottomless pit, which is one of the five compartments of hell. So if you turn to the handout, you'll see the five compartments of hell. Now, hell is a literal place. The Bible teaches a lot about hell. Jesus taught more about hell than what you hear a lot today. He was teaching about it to warn people. Now, if you read Brother Hagin's book, little mini book, I encourage everyone to read it because he has a literal account of I Went to Hell. It's called I Went to Hell. And his book, I Went to Hell, I mean, there was meetings sometimes where he would have, oh, man, probably 8,000-10,000 people in there. And he would be describing his descent into hell as a sinner at that time. He wasn't even saved. And you could hear nobody talk. He's going down, 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 down. And he said, you know, there was a creature at the door and whatnot and taking him in. Now, he went to hell with Jesus. So he describes both occurrences. He went to hell with Jesus because Jesus took him there. And Jesus had a stern look on his face and a very intentional focus on his face, and he was telling him, he said, people don't talk about this place, he said, including you. But hell is a real place. And he said, you got to warn, his specific words were, you got to warn people about this place. Now the first account, when he was not a Christian, he went down to the gates of hell, but never entered into them, because he heard the voice tell him to come back up, because his grandma and his mother were praying for him. Thank God for praying people, praying mothers, amen. So they were praying for him. So he didn't necessarily go through the gates. That creature had to let him go. But then he said he went through, and he went through the different regions of it. And I don't have much time to talk about all of it, but I would encourage you to read the book. The book is very revealing. It's very riveting. Amen. It's called I Went to Hell, my brother Hay. All right? So it gives this literal account of going through there. So we said last time, Satan's not in hell. But you see, during this time frame, the tribulation period, all three, what we call the counterfeit trinity, or what is commonly referred to as the satanic trinity, at work. Now, who's a part of the satanic trinity? You can write these notes on the back of your handout if you want to, where you got the little chart with the seven trumpets. These are the three individuals that are called the satanic trinity. Now, we know the Holy Trinity is who? God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All right, so the satanic trinity is the dragon. And you'll find, as you read further in Revelations, that the dragon is called that old serpent, the devil, Satan. So he's a dragon. He's a dragon kicked out of heaven. He's morphed from a beautiful archangel, anointed cherub that covered, to now he's a dragon. Nothing good about the devil. Amen? All right. And so dragon represents anti-God. Anti-God. So just like the Holy Trinity, the dragon represents anti-God. He's always been against God since he got kicked out in Isaiah, as the Bible tells, in Ezekiel. Number two, the beast. Who is the beast? Well, the beast is also called the Antichrist. The beast. That's why they use the phrase or term, mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist. So he represents Antichrist, anti-son. So he's the counterfeit Messiah that he's going to purport to be, counterfeit Savior. Third is the false prophet. Now, we said there will be an apostate or false church during this time frame, and they'll be doing miracles, signs, and wonders, and all this other stuff, prophesying, but lying, prophelying. And so what are the false prophet represent or portray? Anti-spirit. So you got anti-God, the dragon, anti-Christ, the beast, anti-spirit or Holy Spirit, anti-Holy Spirit, the false prophet. Those are the three satanic trinity. And all three of them will be thrown literally into the lake of fire as you read the book of Revelations. Those guys are not even going to get a chance to even say anything for a nanosecond. They'll get launched, and they'll be tormented forever and ever, night and day. Well, let's talk about hell for a minute. Y'all good? Okay, we're almost done. Sister Ola, get ready. So hell, I'd like to describe it as four pillars of descriptions of hell. So first, hell is down. Where is hell? It's down. You could say it this way. It's I'll say it in a minute that way. It's down. It's the center and the heart of the earth. Scripture references Isaiah 40:14-9, Matthew 12:4. He's talking about the heart of the earth. In those scriptures, center of the earth, under the earth. So it's the underworld. So if you look at the back of that compartment, you see the underworld. It's actually in the earth. It's not no spiritual hell. It's not purgatory. Amen. Now, why do we say all these things? Because you need to be able to articulate these things when you're talking to people who are of other faith and beliefs, because you'll have to back it up with scripture. Now, it's also dark. Jesus referred to it as being outer darkness. Now, Brother Hagin said when he went down there, he said the darkness was so heavy you can feel it. So if he said if you close your eyes real tight and you squeeze yourself, you'd feel it. He said it was such a thickness to it. But the fires are what lit it up, the furnace-like fires. He said he would see people over somewhere in some place. Because remember, it's a holding place. It's a prison system. This is not the lake of fire. This is actually where the holding place is. And he said they catch on fire. And they scream and holler. And then the fire would subside a little bit. And then they catch on fire again. You know, after a time. It was constant. And he said it was stunk so bad. That's the other D word I have. Dank. D-A-N-K. Because Jesus said where the worm dies not, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth in this place. Isaiah 14:9-11. Mark chapter 9:43-44. Worms don't die down there. There'll be actual worms that actually will eat through you and gnaw through you, just like they did in the book of Acts, that king. And they'll torment you constantly with their chewing and gnawing on you. But he said they'll be weeping and gnashing. Part of that weeping and gnashing of teeth is people will remember how many times I had the opportunity to receive Jesus. How many times I had the occasions to go to church and receive Jesus as my Lord? How many times did I reject the Savior? So it's dank. It's dank also represents a stench or smell. Brother Hagin said it smells so bad. He said I can't describe it in English language in this book. And he said the certain scents. Sins of the natural. When you're in the spirit realm, you can smell them. And that's why some of them are called foul or unclean spirit. You foul spirit, you unclean spirit. Because they smell so horrible. You know, Jesus, one of the descriptions of Jesus is he's called the Rose of Sharon. He's called the Lily of the what? Valley. Those things smell. And some people say, when you're in the spirit, you can tell. When Jesus is near, you smell those roses. You smell those lilies. Well, just on the converse side, you smell those evil spirits sometimes, on occasions. Lord may open you up. But Brother Hagin used to say, he said a homosexual spirit was one of the most foul-smelling spirits he encountered. Are you listening to me? And then number four, so we said hell is dark, down, hell is dark, hell is dank, and hell is dirty. We just talked about the stench of sin. It's smelly. He said you smell burning flesh. He said you can't describe the stink. Can't describe the smell. So here's some interesting facts. The Earth core is spinning separately from the rest of the planet. That's scientific fact. So as the Earth is spinning on its axis, there's an internal core spinning separately from the Earth all by itself. The earth core is sitting within an outer shell of boiling liquid iron, almost like a cell, but it's liquidated. And the earth's center, listen to this, is 5,000 to 6,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, they said, you know, hell is seven times hotter than what we would call hot fire today. You know, the hot ovens, like a pizza oven or something, 450 degrees or 500 degrees. You know, some of these really hot furnaces, you know, is seven times hotter than that. I mean, if you were going in there and in the natural sense, that's why the people who were doing Daniel's, the fiery furnace with three Hebrew boys, they were trying to make it real, real hot, real, real hot. When they opened the door, what happened? All the people that opened the door, they just got blown away because it was so hot. That's how it is down there. One of those compartments, as we see, the compartment is the bottomless pit. You see the scriptures there. And you got the scriptures on that sheet that show you the different compartments of it. But this is where they chained demons. This was like an isolation or a what we call a hole. You go into maximum security or what do you call it? Isolated cell. You know, security lockup. They keep you really away from everything else. They keep really bad spirits down there. And then, of course, the other one was Tartarus, where they chained angels who fell and made messed up with the natural order of things on the earth. And so they got put in Tartarus. And you see that in one of the compartments as well. So the prison for angels. But see, bottomless pit is where we'll see later where Satan will be bound and chained during the millennial reign of Christ 1,000 years. They'll actually have a big angel grab Satan by the neck, so to speak. I'm just trying to describe it. And he's going to take him down there and chain him up, lock him up, and put him down in the bottom of the pit and lock him up for 1,000 years. So we're gonna see a time frame in our future of 1,000 years with no devil. Then it's going to be loosed for a little bit. And some folks going to still get stupid and yield to them. And we'll talk about that war that comes up, usually referenced three times during this period, you know, right after, right after the rapture, and then second coming, then at the end of the millennium. Scholars call it, refer to as the Gog-Magog War. We'll talk about that another time. But a lot of good stuff, amen? Come on now, let's stand to your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.